Alrighty, and for the last book of the day, we're going to be talking about from containers to unicamps.
Okay. So, thank you. My name is Ioannis Plakas, and in this presentation, we're going to talk about the unikernels and their integration challenges in cloud-native environments. So, first, we're going to set the scene, talk about containers and sandbox mechanism, and then we're going to reintroduce unikernels and talk about our own OCI-compatible container runtime, URAN-C, and after that, some demos and evaluation results section. So, yeah, we're a team of researchers with a mixed industrial and academic background, mostly focused in virtualization, container runtimes, and hardware acceleration. So, yeah, containers is the standardized way to deploy and package your application. They're portable, they can be run both in cloud and edge. They're easy to scale with the support of a wide ecosystem, and they have super fast spawn times. But they come with a major risk when it comes to multi-tenant scenarios. Multiple containers share the same kernel and rely on software components for their isolation. So, in a malicious workload scenario, in a privileged escalation, a container can impact the entire host. So what cloud vendors did was to either use software-assisted solution with tools like SecComp or AppArmor, or a hardware-assisted solution, VM-type solutions, with tools like Firecracker and Gvisor. So, yeah, the thing becomes like this. We have now, we deploy our application inside the container, inside the VM, totally isolated from the rest of the system, and we get to keep actually the benefits of container, the portability and the scalability, and we also kind of resolve the isolation issue. But of course, this comes with a side effect, since higher overhead because of CPU and memory provisioning for the VM, and a much more complex system stack that needs to be maintained. By taking a step back, we can see that the application does not need all these parts in order to run. It just needs the runtime, the libraries, and some parts of the OS, like the drivers. And yeah, this kind of bundling is enabled by technology called unikernels. So what's unikernel? It's a specialized single-ladder space that contains exactly the necessary parts for the application to run. So yeah, this leads to reduced attack surface and faster boot times, which is especially crucial in serverless scenarios where responsiveness matters. And yeah, but unikernels are not widely adopted yet. And why is that? What's missing? We identified two main issues. The first one is packaging. And yeah, unikernels should look like an OCI image in order to utilize the ecosystem support. And the second one, the more important, is deployment and the execution of unikernels. Container runtimes need to be extended. Additional logic is needed in order to execute unikernels. And with this, I would like to give the floor to Yorgos to talk about URAN-C.
Thank you, Yanis. Hello, everyone. So to solve the deployment challenge of unikernels, we introduce URAN-C, which is a unikernel container runtime. It is fully CRI compatible. It's written in Go. Actually, it's a CLI tool which makes use of interconnected Go packages to actually spawn the unikernels. It treats unikernels as processes, so in a way, it directly manages the application and not the system in which the application runs. The images, the unikernel images required to run these unikernels are typical OCI artifacts. And in order to actually spawn these unikernel VMs, we make use of underlying hypervisors. So first, let's take a look how a unikernel image looks like. First of all, they are standard OCI images, so they can be managed via standard tooling and can be distributed using already existing registries. But there is one differentiating factor. Uran-C needs some specific annotations to function. These annotations are the unikernel binary path inside the rootfs, the unikernel type, the hypervisor type, the command line that we need to pass to the unikernel, and optionally, if we are using initrd, the path to the initrd file. So to facilitate the packaging of the unikernel, we created a simple image builder called Bima, which uses a simple Dockerfile like syntax to create the images. As you can see, it's pretty typical for anyone who has used Docker. It's practically the same thing. So now we have seen how an OCI unikernel image looks. Let's take a closer look at how Uran-C actually spawns a unikernel. First of all, containerd sim invokes Uran-C create. Uran-C create then sets up a new network namespace, create a new namespace, sets up a pseudo terminal if it's required, and spawns a Uran-C re-exec process inside that namespace. The re-exec process then notifies the parent process that it had started. Then Uran-C, the Uran-C create, the original process, saves the state, the PID of the re-exec process, etc., executes any create runtime hooks, and then sends an OK IPC message to the re-exec process, executes any create container hooks, and then exits. Then containerd sim invokes Uran-C start, which sends an IPC message to the re-exec process, executes post-start hooks, and exits as well. So now is the most interesting part. The re-exec process actually sets up any necessary network and storage components, for example, the tab device, etc., executes any start container hooks, and actually spawns the unikernel VM. So as you can see, this is a pretty typical life cycle for any container runtime with just some minor adjustments to facilitate the unikernel execution. So to actually spawn the unikernels, we use hypervisors. We made it really easy to integrate any new hypervisors you want to Uran-C. Actually, you just have to implement this interface, which is mostly just the execv function. So it's really easy. Currently, we have support for Solo5, Kimu, and Firecracker. For storage, we have support for block device via DevMapper Snapshotter. We have support for initrd, which is packed inside the image rootfs, and we also have support for sharedfs coming soon. In the diagram, you can see how an image looks like, the layers look like. So for the network part, we followed a very simple approach that is also used by sandboxed runtimes, like Kata containers. We create a new tab device inside the container network namespace, and then we bridge all the data, all the traffic, to the VF endpoint provided by CNI. We do this using traffic control. To integrate unikernels in Kubernetes, we had a small challenge. That's because we need to actually spawn non-unikernel containers inside the same pod. For example, the POS container or any other sidecar containers. To achieve this, we use run-c to spawn the generic containers, and then uran-c handles the unikernel containers inside the network namespace of the pod. So there are some really interesting use cases, for example, Knative, in which we need to have intra-pod unikernel and container communication. In Knative, for example, the kubeproxy container needs to be able to communicate with a user function, which is a unikernel. To achieve this, we implement a static network configuration. We provide a static IP to the tab device, so we handle it that way. So now let's see Uran-C in action. We will see a simple deployment using NERCTL. We will pull the image from the registry, and using NERCTL, we will actually spawn an Nginx unikernel inside a VM. Okay. So as we can see, there are no containers running right now. We pull the image from our registry. Okay, it's already existing. And now we can run it using an RTL. We have to define the runtime. So we do that. Okay, it spawned. And now we can see that it started 6 seconds ago. It was created. Perfect. So now we can inspect the container to find the IP address. Okay. And if we curl it, we can see that it's an Nginx server built using Unicraft. Pretty typical. So now we can see the actual Firecracker process that it's running, and the container DC URNC process that's also running. Okay. And now with that, I will give the floor back to Yannis to show you a more elaborate example with Knative.
Okay, so now, just a moment. Okay, that's bad. Now, let's deploy a serverless workload with URNC. So, what we first do here is that we see that we have no other URNC process running in the cluster. And after this, what we need to do is to define the runtime class, the URNC runtime class for the KH cluster. You can see here, we apply the runtime class. And then it's time to define the Knative service. We can see that URNC container runtime is specified, and a simple HTTP reply server workload is used as, you know, the workload of the serverless function. We apply the service, and then we will retrieve back the URL endpoint, which by triggering it with a simple HTTP request, simple HTTP GET, essentially we start the execution of the serverless workload. So here we can see the curl, and after this, the pods are gonna be running, and underneath there will be the URNC process with the KEMU hypervisors with the sandboxed workload. So yeah, that's it. And so the evaluation section. In order to evaluate URNC, we convert with other container runtimes such as Divisor and Kata containers. And in that process, we utilize the tool called kperf, responsible for generating and triggering Knative services via HTTP request, as we saw in the demo, and also responsible for reporting the service latencies. So yeah, the scale from zero evaluation scenarios like this. For a number of iteration, we scale. It's a Knative service, and we report at the end of the number of executions, we report the response latency. We do this for every other container runtime. So this is the results. We can see on the x-axis the different container runtimes used for that process, and on the y-axis the service response latency, seconds. And of course, lower is better. So on a blog post on with the experiment setup and all the parameter setting for kperf. That's all. Thank you. So I think that's all.
Thank you.
Okay, so the question is about memory benchmarking, right? Yeah, memory benchmarking is not yet on our work, but we have plans on that also. But yeah, it's something that will come up. Sorry? So the question is if we have run a union kernel in AWS, I don't know. Actually, these experiments was on-prem servers. We have not yet experienced any big cloud vendors in deployments. So hopefully, maybe the next evaluation will be also part with major vendors. I heard something about paravirtualization, right? But I'm not sure that that's just... Thank you. Thank you so much.